You're listening to China Manufacturing Decoded from the Sophie's Group.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of China Manufacturing Decoded, our podcast. Today, Clive Greenwood is back on the show, and we're actually going to talk again about the same topic we discussed in August 2023. And I'll get to that. It is basically about the danger of e-bikes and electric vehicles and, in general, cheap, poorly designed, poorly made batteries. Obviously, not all Chinese batteries are poorly designed and poorly made, but in the constant race for lower prices and the constant appearance of new actors in the Chinese supply chain, well, there are some dangerous cheap batteries, and they are flooding a lot of different markets, including in the EU and USA and so on. So first, hi, Clive. How are you? Welcome back.
Hello there. Hello, Rio. Thanks for having me back. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, it was a pleasure for us. So, in August of 2023, you were sort of sounding the alarm, right? You were saying, whoa, cheap batteries from China are posing severe risk. And I'm going to just go over the topics of last time. We talked about the battery life cycle and how, from cobalt and lithium and nickel and substances like these that are extracted, for example, in Western Africa or South America and so on, refined a lot in China. Then you have battery cell manufacturing, battery pack manufacturing, sometimes by different companies. And then it goes, maybe it's embedded into a final product that's exported, and then it's used, and then it's sent to the landfill and hopefully it gets recycled and so on. This is a interesting topic, and we'll link back to the episode of August of last year in the show notes if you want to go into that. We also talked about the standards and regulations, and we covered electric vehicles more specifically, right? As we mentioned, there's a lot of new legislation coming up, 2024, 2025, such as the European Union new regulations about batteries, okay, which covers not all batteries, but the vast majority of batteries, especially for electric vehicles and what I think they call it, the light. I forget the exact word, but like for e-scooters and things like that, they have light, another name.
Yeah, it's light mobility and micro mobility.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, right. And we really raised the alarm about the risk of fire and explosions. And I think that, Clive, you even mentioned that this was going to be, you know, the situation is brewing, and this was going to be a public safety scandal of the same proportion of as personal protective equipment, right? And I think you haven't really changed your opinion on that, have you?
No, not one bit. First of all, let's separate the two issues. If you remember, when we went back to the original interview which we did, we looked at lithium-ion and lithium-cobalt batteries in two aspects. The first one was used in electronics, and the second was used in micro-mobility. There is a growing, if you look at New York City, for example, where last week there was a death again caused by micro-mobility scooters catching fire. And we look at the amount of airtime, certainly on Chinese social media now, which is actually showing uncontroversial direct video evidence of these e-bikes simply just catching fire on two aspects, one on charging and the other one when it's just actually stored in someone's house, doing nothing, just sat there. This is now Just what,
spontaneously.
well, we all say that we've moved from a internal combustion engine to a spontaneous combustion engine. The two things must be linked. Must be. I'm going to make a thing here. I'm going to say that the issues that we have with smartphones catching fire and things like this is not as dangerous as the ones where the scooters are bursting into flames, and basically because of the intensity of the fire. Now, is this a problem of lithium itself? Well, to some extent, you could say yes, because it is a naturally dangerous material. I think that what we're looking at here, and this is what we're seeing in China, is two aspects of the same brush. First and foremost, the actual manufacturer of the actual power bank itself. Now, if you go and buy the cheaper scooters, they tend to use a battery about this big, like this. Okay, top speed is somewhere in the region of about 15 kilometers an hour. These
So
are the legal ones.
just for people who are listening to us, you say roughly like what, 20 cm by another 20 cm or something like that?
Yeah,
A bit more.
something.
Yeah, maybe
Maybe,
30 cm
yeah,
length.
about 25. Yeah, about 25, 30 cm. By about 12 by 10, for example. These don't seem to be the issue. What seems to be the issue is that a lot of people are buying bigger batteries, which give them more range. And the reason for that is that people are working in town centers and having to live outside the town center, so they need longer range. First one, okay. Here lies the main problem. The people that are manufacturing these, what shall we say, aftermarket batteries, the battery cells, are, let we say, following the same modus operandi as the mask manufacturers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's make money quick.
Let's
Let's.
make money quicker and to hell with the consequences. Many of them have got no quality systems. They have no control systems. They're made in less than optimum conditions by
Oh,
people
yeah.
with less than optimum skills.
And this is really the Chinese. This is always the same picture. Wherever you have a market, there's like a gold rush, right? And
Yeah.
then in a Chinese market, you will have some sophisticated manufacturers, Chinese owned, non-Chinese owned, and so on, right? But then you will also always have some small operators come up on the market quick, have some contacts, buy whatever. They use, they buy some like kits from their component suppliers. Component suppliers tell them, well, just use this like this, and this guy knows the can give you the firmware, and over there you can buy the PCBA for this and for that, and you just kit it together, you test, it works, it's okay, you can make money, go ahead and do it, right? So you always have a lot of actors like that. And it was the same for masks and some of the other PPE, but mostly
The
masks,
people
right?
that you can draw a direct parallel.
Yeah, very much, very much.
Now, does that affect the people that's happening in Europe? Well, to be seen, yes or no. It's certainly not at the same extent as what it is here now. I mean, Chinese social media. I mean, the only thing you've got to do is look at channels on WeChat, and there are hundreds of videos of these things catching fire. Literally
And
hundreds.
and it seems like it in China, and that's why we're doing this episode today as a follow-up, that in China it seems like the authorities just became aware of the size of this and the severity of this public safety hazard, right? So you were telling me.
It does look that way, yes. For example, you cannot now, I mean, most of the living accommodations, you would normally, they would like to have an at ground level storage area for the e-bikes. And in those would be charging stations. Now, these charging stations, I snuck a look inside one of these things. I don't want to be unkind, but it looked like it had been actually manufactured by somebody probably of school age. Okay. The wiring was frankly dangerous. The wiring itself, let alone the fact that you're going to actually put this onto one of these things, in itself would not have passed safety standards. It just seems that,
So that's the current situation, right? That they have let put in place freely over the past, I don't know, 3 years, 5 years, right? That's what you're describing.
I mean, these things basically, you plug your bike into these things through your charger adapter, connect up your phone, WeChat it in, WeChat Pay, and let it thing charge up for 12 hours. I mean, I use it myself, okay, when I have to use them. So that's the first problem there. There is very little other than a standard normal circuit breaker, which is just, as we said before, I mean, to get from a fact of a battery becoming dangerous to the thermal runaway event is 20 milliseconds. This thing will just keep drawing power and drawing more power and drawing more power until it gets to over 83 degrees, I think it was, and they just boomf.
Right. Very, very fast. Yeah, so a
Very fast.
standard circuit breaker
It's just not fast enough.
is not a proper safeguard. They need
No.
some additional safeguards, yeah.
That's right. And as we spoke before, and I told you that when I built, I mean, I built a super bike, an electric super bike, with speeds which are comparable to a 600 cc motorcycle, road, race bike. Problem is that the equipment that I put on there, with the battery pack which I supervised being made, the surge protection I put in there cost over 6,000 renminbi.
Yeah, this is not something that's going to happen, right? What was the price of these electric scooters and e-bikes that you see on the streets there?
Between 2,500 and 4,000.
Right. They're not gonna do
No,
something, add
no.
safety, safeguards that are
Yeah.
one and a half or two times the price of the entire product. Yeah, not gonna
That's
happen.
right. And you could actually then take this to one of these little backstreet garages, and we've all seen, well, you can't even call it a garage, a guy with a small shop which gets
Right.
his circular saw out and cuts a bigger hole in the battery pack so he can fit one of these more heavy duty batteries in with almost no formal qualification, no testing, no nothing.
Right. See, it works. Okay, it fits, it
Yeah,
works.
it
I'm ready
fits,
to
it
go.
works.
Right, right, right. That's the extent of it.
That's the extent of it. Now, I think the second one, and this is where we start to, the Chinese actually do have a law that says that you cannot do this. It is against Chinese law. It is there on the statute books. The problem is that nobody pays a damn attention to it. And especially these delivery drivers that are souping up their e-bike so that they will do sort of 80 kilometers an hour all day long.
Oh yeah, pretty dangerous on the sidewalk. Don't
On
forget
the
to mention
sidewalk as well.
on the
Yeah,
sidewalk. This is modern China. Right.
that's a different topic, but
Safety risk. Yeah.
safety risk. Yeah. They are the guys that are sort of like in there, they bang these things on fast charge and try and get them up. That's one thing. So what needs to happen? Well, there needs to be regulation, enforcement. It's like we'll do this and then we'll sort of like, it's like I didn't see anything.
Right. And it
Now there
seems
are
like over
police.
the past over the past few years, there's been basically zero enforcement against these delivery guys speeding along on the sidewalk and so on, where it was actually forbidden a few years before, right? But with COVID, they just say, okay, let them loose, let them go, zip along, and the same lack of oversight extended all the way through, right, including to the the way they set up the way to power their e-bikes, basically.
Yeah. But there again, you see, I mean, China is in this really sticky situation. And I'm standing up for the Chinese here, by the way, guys, that people have moved away from their center of work, shall we say. But before, let's say 20 years ago, people lived within 2 or 3 miles of where they worked. Now, because of prices of houses and if we take, say, Suzhou, for example, the whole center of Suzhou's SIP area has exponentially grown, where people are moving out and moved out to the outskirts. And sometimes, I mean, for example, my daughter, she has takes her an hour to get to work. She uses an e-bike to a subway station, parks it there at a subway station. So now you've got subway stations surrounded by e-bikes that could go boom. Very clever, guys. Very clever. And then the subway. I mean, the whole of Suzhou has been dug up with putting in subway systems for, oh, it's over 10 years. And they're still doing it.
Yeah,
So,
keep
you've
doing.
got to get, you're talking people movement into working areas, into workspaces and things like this. So people are just sort of like saying, well, I will just get more range. So I will put a bigger battery in.
That makes sense actually, and
Yeah.
this is a lack of awareness from in people's minds about the
Planning.
associated risks.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is, you have city planning, which has gone astray. Yeah. And you've got this constant rush to put subway systems in. I mean, the toll roads around certain parts of Suzhou City are like a building site, and they have been for years. If you look at, say, Ganjiang Road, the main thoroughfare that goes through it, that's been dug up at least 6 times.
Wow.
Okay.
Plan,
And
replan, re-replan.
yeah, replan, let's think about it again. But that
Right.
doesn't take us away from what's happening with the safety issues. You've got a combination of necessity where people need the extra range, which is only available on when you put these heavy duty batteries in there, to the people supplying the heavy duty batteries thinking it's a gold mine. And here, presto, again, we have a direct line, if you like, to the mentality that we saw with everybody making a mask. So if the question is, if you are buying these things from China, you have to be very aware, very, very, very aware that there is a potential health and safety catastrophe waiting to happen. Now, most of the, we all live in China in these high-rise blocks. Almost everywhere, they are putting up barriers in front of the doors so that you can't take the e-bike into the building, because this is what was happening. People were bringing their e-bikes and plugging them into the power, and woof.
They would put it like sideways, like in diagonal in the
In
lift.
the lift, and off you go. Yeah.
In the apartment and plug it and charge it themselves, but then that means there's when things go really wrong, and there's some videos about that, well, you have your entire apartment going up in flame, and obviously it's an enormous hazard for the entire building and its
Because
occupants.
there is very little when it comes to fire suppression. If at all any.
Right.
We have fire doors, yes, but they're always wedged open.
That's true. Again, Chinese
Okay.
culture,
You've
right?
seen this, you've seen this as well as I have. But now what they're saying is, no, you will not. My worry is, frankly, a lot of these shopping malls. And I know that in New York City, I mean, I was just looking at the New York Fire Department's website before we come on here, and they are adamant that these things are a major fire hazard.
Right. I was looking in USA Today. They are, I'm just quoting from USA Today, right? How many people die from lithium ion battery fires? There's been a dramatic increase in death from fires, probably lithium ion fires in New York City. The fire department says in 2019, 2010, 2020, there were zero deaths, according to the department. Last year, 17 people in New York died from lithium ion battery fires. This was up from 2022, which saw six deaths. So 0, 0, 6, 17. What about next year and the year after? So the firemen
It's
there are really
exponential. It's exponential,
raising
isn't
the
it?
alarm. Yeah, right.
And don't forget as well, Reynold, with these batteries, when they catch fire, it's not just the fire that you're worrying about. These things give off lithium hydrofluoric acid.
That's pretty detrimental to health. Yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah, if you breathe that in, basically, it will fry your lungs. It will kill
That's
you.
pretty bad.
Yeah,
That's
it's
pretty
not
bad.
very nice. I mean, you remember the paper which I wrote, which I believe we're going to put a link into that, into the discussion paper. A hydrofluoric acid burn that you can get on your skin, it turns your entire skin white. This is it's very much a likened to if you get frostbite. That's what you're looking at. Okay. Now,
Or
there
worse.
is, yeah, I'm not seeing anywhere where there is a detection system. The fact is, we are not going to stop these things from exploding, because once it starts, that's it.
Yeah, it runs away, as they say.
It's
Yeah,
called
very, very
thermal
fast.
runaway. Yeah, it's a thermal event, thermal runaway event. You can't stop it. I mean, you have to use a Class B fire extinguisher. And how many of those do you see running around? Very few. So the option here is actually two things. One is to actually get into the construction of the lithium cell, and we talked offline about that company that we're talking to before, again, where there is a change to the design of the cell or its internal structure. Then there must be ways of detecting when the event is about to happen. And like I say, the time scale is very, very short, from it becoming unstable to it becoming an ignited system.
Blowing up,
Can be
basically.
as, yeah, it can be as little as about 20 seconds.
20 milliseconds, you
20,
mean?
no, 20 seconds
20
from
seconds. Okay, the start, the whole process. Right,
the
okay.
whole process, yeah.
Yeah.
But from it getting to an ignition point to an ignition point is 20 milliseconds. And it burns at about 1800 degrees.
Yep. I mean,
That
it
melts
melts
steel.
still. Yeah.
Melts steel,
Right.
yeah. So that's the issue with that. We need clear legislation.
So
I'm
now
not
let me ask you.
ban the actual high powered batteries, because that is just not feasible. But there has to be regulation, technical regulations that these must meet, and these must be
So
enforced.
are we in need of new regulation, or are we in need of enforcement of existing regulation?
No, we are in need of new regulation.
Okay.
All right. There must be thermal cutout devices put in these big battery cells. Banning the
Okay.
big battery cells is not possible. All right. Remember, in most Chinese towns, for example, most Chinese cities, motorcycles are banned for some God unknown reason, which I can never fathom. So you've got push bikes. Maybe that's the way that they want to go. Or cars, where the actual view is everybody has got a car in this utopia, so there's no need for these things. You either got a car or use public transport.
Right. So you're talking in China, they need to pass new regulation to make sure that the cells
The
are,
construction of the cell, the actual construction of the battery unit itself
Right, it's safe. It's safer,
is safe.
safer.
It's
Proper
safer.
insulation, protection, and so on, but also with a safeguard to cut things off much faster, much earlier.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Very much the same sort of thing as what we have in Europe, for example. The new battery regulation, which come into force 2023, does actually stipulate this. The testing method, the installation of the cell method, the performance method, the thermal effect methods are all regulated.
It's full of safety
Fully.
requirements, specifically for like e-scooters all the way to electric vehicles.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it is. So the safety aspect of this is that you buy the cell with the correct charger. Very much the same thing that we say with mobile phones and computers. Use the charger which came with the computer.
Or use USB-C, which is extremely flexible and adapts, right? If it's
Use a
rated
proper.
as
Use a
needed.
proper, yeah. I always say that if you're going to buy a laptop computer and the charger goes, well, go to the same shop where you bought the computer from and buy a charger from them. Don't go to one of these little made God knows where places, because there again, you're just adding an extra layer of risk when there is no need to. For the sake of 10 renminbi.
Well, or a bit more. If you're in the
Or a
Apple
bit more.
ecosystem,
If you're on an app.
you might
Well,
save,
yeah, okay.
30 euros.
Well, let's say
Right.
30 euros. Okay. But what's the difference between 30 euros and this thing blowing up at the worst possible time? Remember Murphy's Law here. As a compliance officer, Murphy's Law is my mantra. All
Things
right.
will go wrong where
If
they
things
can.
can go wrong, they will go wrong at the worst possible time in the worst possible way.
So always
Right.
keep an eye on the
Look at
severity of any failure
yes.
mode in the worst case.
Oh, I don't think there is another way of doing this, is there?
Well, you need to keep an eye on that. Should not be your only analysis, but you keep an eye on that for sure.
Well, I always look at worst case scenarios. Yeah, if you work on best case scenario, the best case scenario is it doesn't blow up. The worst case scenario is what do you do when it does?
You don't need to plan on best case scenarios. That's what the Chinese manufacturers have been doing already.
Yeah. So I mean, the other aspect of these is look at the device. When you look at your phone, just pick it up and look at it edge on, okay? Is there, well, you can see if you look down the edges of these things, is there separation? Does it look as if it's separating the back from the front? If it does, throw it away or take it to a shop and have it recycled. But that's the first sign that the cells are delaminating within the lithium battery.
Yeah, right. And there's a lot of other good advice in your paper, which will be free download in the show notes.
Right.
So to get back as we wrap up, as we get back to the main topic of this podcast, basically, the dangers of e-bikes and electric vehicles in general, and why this is a hot topic. So as we mentioned, the New York City firemen are getting quite concerned about this, and the New York City council is taking this quite seriously, right? But also in China, so you're saying that they don't have, or they need to beef up their current legislation on this topic, but they also need to start enforcing the current legislation, right? Are they
Yeah, exactly.
doing anything that you have seen? So you mentioned that basically you can't bring your e-bike back to your apartment now, which used to be quite common. Anything else that you have noticed?
Yeah, in like from we are, they're actually now building outside ch charging areas so that it's not underneath the building.
Right.
Now, not every apartment is going to have that space because, I mean, you look at our apartment, we've got 23 floors. Each apartment's got each floor's got three apartments. Normally, everybody's got at least one e-bike. So, you know, when you look at that, you're going to have a couple of hundred e-bikes stood.
Yeah.
You know, that in itself, having those so close together, especially in the summertime when you've got ambient temperatures, they're all going to feed into this, is inherently dangerous.
True, true, true. And then if one of them goes off
They'll all go
and
off.
it's next to the other ones, then the next one goes off and it's like matches, right?
This is what's happened. It's like a striking a match and putting it in a matchbox full of matches. This is what we're
Yeah, right.
seeing, and this is what's being posted on Chinese social media at the moment. Not one,
Yes.
but it's showing
Oh,
a
yeah.
whole lot going kaboom.
Yes. So this has been documented, I mean, on taken in video many, many times in China. There's been other incidents. Well, in New York City last
New
year,
York
the
City's posted
supermarket.
videos. Yeah, they've posted the pictures of this. And remember, what we're dealing with here is most other countries don't ban motorcycles. So if you've got sort of like a, let's say about 10 miles you live, you get on your motorcycle, you drive it to work, you come back, you fill it up with petrol, and you store it differently. You don't have that inherent risk of plugging it into the wall socket and letting it charge up by itself.
True. Yeah, this is
So,
a new source of risk that well, people will have to we have to adapt, but people are still in the learning phase, and that's where there's room for massive disasters.
yeah, they have to basically, the authorities here have to get a grip on these manufacturers. At least make them, you know, in most cases, these batteries are actually illegal. Remember that. You're not supposed to do this. Okay. Is to either get a grip of these manufacturers, and I mean, you know, it did, let's be fair, it did get a grip of the mass manufacturers very quickly, about a year. But the damage was already done, and that damage was done to Chinese reputation, which we are still feeling now. This has got the same potential. All it's going to take is this thing to happen underneath a supermarket or underneath a high-rise building, and the whole thing goes up in flames. And it's just going to be, oh, look, here we go again. Yada, yada, yada.
Well, maybe that's a very positive note for us to wrap up the episode. Let's hope we're proven wrong, right?
Well, okay, before we go, just a quick one on safety. Don't charge your mobile phone and put it under your pillow while it's charging. Don't leave it on charge overnight and not have no control of it. Buy the correct charger and keep an eye on the device. That goes for your phone, your laptop, your e-bike.
Yeah,
Lithium
especially when
ion.
it's charging.
Yeah. Lithium ion is a dangerous substance and it should be treated as such.
Yeah, very much so. All
Okay.
right. Well, yeah, thanks a lot. Good stuff. Thanks, and let's hope that we are proven wrong. And let's hope that people will take these safety considerations a bit more seriously. All right. Thanks a lot, Clive.
Okay.
This was a nice follow-up, and let's reconnect from time to time. Let's see how things develop. I'm sure there will be more news on this topic, unfortunately.
Yeah, if anybody wants to read the white paper I wrote, then just download it.
Yeah, it
Free
will be
to
in the
him.
show notes. All right, and thanks to the listeners, and you will hear from us next week as usual.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast brought to you by the Sophies Group. We're on a mission to provide you with everything you need to manufacture effectively in Asia, including inspections, auditing, new product development support, contract manufacturing, 3PL warehousing and fulfillment, and much, much more across Asia's key manufacturing areas. Visit us at sofeast.com, that's SOFEAST.com, to learn more and get help. If you've enjoyed the podcast today, please do rate, review, and share, because it will really help others discover us too.